It's a favorite saying of many people that you hear, especially in society today, is judge not that you be not judged. Or maybe we phrase it like this, you can't judge me. So tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 7 and the first six verses as we look at our His Word study, and we'll continue in that this week as you're looking at Matthew chapter 6 through 10. But generally when this is quoted frequently, people don't want you to point out their sins or their faults. So the first thing they say is, you can't judge me. You can't tell me how to do those particular things. Is that true, though? Is that really the meaning of what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 7? Are we never to make moral judgments about right or wrong? And if we see wrong in others, can we never point those things out? I'm persuaded that Jesus' statement is often misquoted here, or often misused, rather, as we see in Matthew chapter 7, because there are times when it's appropriate to point those things out. Because what Jesus is saying there in relation to morals and sinful activities and things like that, Jesus says those things have to be pointed out, but certainly there's things that we have to take into consideration before those things are going to be pointed out. So to judge or not to judge, that's the question before us tonight as we look at Matthew chapter 6. And obviously we want to, or Matthew chapter 7, as we look at the first six verses here. So as Jesus is kind of closing out the tail end of His Sermon on the Mount, He says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with this measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in the brother's eye, or in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, and a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast the pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear those things to pieces. Judge not that you be not judged. Jesus' words, I think, are often used to forbid all manner of judgment, especially in society today, I think. People are saying, you can't tell me what to do, or don't judge my activities based upon what I choose to do. So simply what people are telling you to do is stay out of their business, right? Stay out of my business and don't judge me on the activities that I choose to do, whatever those activities might be. And I think such as an adverse or unfavorable criticism, like pointing out somebody's fault, is one that's going to be quick to say something like that. And such, I think, an exercise that you often see this is church discipline, because that's something we don't want to bring out, something that's difficult. So if church discipline is employed by the elders, generally this is the first verse that many people go to. You can't judge me, or you can't tell me those things. But is it okay for us to judge righteously? Sure it is, because Jesus talks about righteous judgment. Is it okay to judge intentions? Can we judge intentions? Well, somebody says something to the effect of, well, I know they're just going to do something like that again. You see, then you're judging intentions, something they might do, something you think they're going to do. So I can't judge somebody's intentions based upon a previous action that they've done, because maybe they've changed in the process, but I can judge moral and righteous judgments based upon the current activity that they're doing. And those things have to be pointed out sometimes. Because if we have to expose error, whether it's false teaching or hypocrisy or things like that, those things have to be pointed out in relation to going against what God's Word tells them to do. So admitting that it requires making a judgment in order to consider whether someone is in error, and to make that righteous judgment only based on the standard that God's Word gives us. But in giving that judgment or casting that judgment, we also have to be careful, because we also need to understand that however we judge is exactly how that judge, Jesus says, will be measured back towards us. Because sometimes it's easy for us to jump down somebody's throats when they're wrong, but we don't want the same measure given back to us, do we? No. Maybe we expect some form of respect when somebody comes before us. We are to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, the Bible tells us that. But I think sometimes we have a hard time with that, because it's easy, as Jesus is going to go on to say here, to point out the problem in somebody else's life before we take that long introspective look that Paul talks about as we look in the mirror And as we're conforming ourselves to the way of Christ, we have to look inwardly before we start poking out everybody else's faults and their sins and their shortcomings. As we like to say sometimes, it's easy for us to play Monday morning quarterback, isn't it? Boy, if they'd only done all these things in the game, the outcome would have been different. It's easy for us to do it after the fact. But what we have to understand and what Jesus is saying here is that we must remain silent when we seek, or not must remain silent when we see people overtaken in a fault or those that are false teachers, as long as it's according to God's standard. And that's the judge. That's the measure by which we look at everything through the lens of what Jesus is telling us to do. But it's really easy to point out everybody else's fault without looking at ourselves. Why do you think that is? We don't want to admit our own shortcomings. Perhaps that's the case. But again, Jesus didn't rule out all forms of judgment. There was only certain forms of judgment and how that judgment was going to be given. So note the immediate context here, which reveals that in some cases, proper judgment has to be made. So you think of Matthew chapter 6. Do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. So this implies that judgment is to be made to those who are dogs and who are hogs, as I heard one preacher say, when you're looking at Matthew chapter 6. Dogs and hogs. Have you ever looked at that verse particular and wondered what in the world Jesus is talking about here? When he goes from the concept of what it means to judge in relation to judge not and how you're going to be judged, the measure by which we're going to give the judgment, and how we have to look at ourselves in relation to giving that judgment, what in the world is Jesus talking about then as far as casting those things that are holy before dogs and hogs? Well, otherwise, how can we know when not to give that which is holy to dogs, or how can we know when not to cast our pearls before swine? I think Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20 kind of implies that we must make judgments in determining who's false teachers, as far as their fruits and the works that they're showing, and all of those things in relation to not casting things. And let me back up here for just a second, because you have to look at this through the light of a Jew's eye. Because in relation to how they looked at a dog and how they looked at swine, were not your cuddly little Boston Terrier you have on your couch waiting at home for you when you get home tonight. That's not the type of dog they're talking about. And when you think about swine or hogs in relation to what we like, because I like bacon, and I like a lot of bacon, and I like pulled pork and all those things, to a Jew, hogs were absolutely filthy, unclean animals, something to stay completely away from. So Jesus is putting this into terms concerning dogs and hogs, because dogs were not an animal they kept or as a pet or petted or any of those things, something they stayed away from, and pigs were considered to be completely unclean and to be avoided at all cost. So don't throw things wholly towards those dogs that you avoid and before swine or your pearls because they're filthy animals. So think about the holy aspect of what Jesus is talking about here in relation to what it means to judge individuals. So Jesus didn't rule out all forms of judgment. Elsewhere, Jesus taught that people have to judge in Matthew 7 and verse 24 with righteous judgment, to mete out righteous judgment. Well, what does it mean to judge righteously then, according to the right standards of God? That's what righteousness means. So there's a right way to judge, and there's a wrong way to judge. Let me ask you a question. If you see a Christian walking out of a liquor store, does that make him an alcoholic? If you see a Christian walking out of a liquor store, does that mean he's sinning? Why not? You see, it's quick for us to judge and say, what in the world is that dude or that guy walking out of the liquor store for? You see, I had this happen to a preacher friend of mine. He was walking into the liquor store to put up a gospel meeting flyer. Because after all, aren't those that are walking into that store needing the gospel probably the most? He did no sooner walk in his door when he got a call from his elders because Sister So-and-so saw him walking out of the liquor store. So the judgment was, our preacher's an alcoholic. To which he said, did she see what I was putting in the liquor store? You see, so we're quick to make and pass judgment only based upon what we see visually, right? Without knowing the heart of the matter. Because that's how we are as human beings. We can make unrighteous judgments or incorrect judgments, or we can jump to conclusions. That's basically passing a judgment without having the proper evidence. But Jesus said we can mete out certain types of righteous judgment based upon what the Word of God tells us. But now if I see a Christian walking out of a liquor store with a box full of booze and putting this in his car, then probably there's more to it. But instead, perhaps the sister should have gone to this brother and said, is there a reason you were coming out of the liquor store? You see, that's a lot more difficult for us to do, right? Actually ask a question. It's harder for us to go up and look for evidence and simply ask a question, because maybe that's not the truth we're looking for, because it's a lot juicier just to spread the rumor, right, and base a false judgment. That's a lot easier for us to do. That's what society does. That's how the devil sows discord within the body of Christ. He's really good at it. So we have to be careful how we pass judgment to make sure, one, before we pass judgment, that we have the proper evidence before we pass judgment, but that we do it in a right way that God wants us to pass that judgment. So, another thing, Jesus defined what kind of judging he's condemning. Judging when one is blind to his or her faults. Notice again verses 7 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eyes? So think about this. It's as if you get a piece of sand in your eye, right? Something small. In relation to me judging the fault that you have without understanding the plank, and the Greek says literally it's a timber sticking out of his head. So when you think about that, I'm going to judge you based upon something so small and minute that it can barely be seen, but I've got this huge plank that's sticking out of my head. You see the contrast that Jesus is making here? Make sure that you're paying attention, Jesus said. Jesus is saying that it is wrong for anyone to concentrate his attention on the speck in his brother's eyes while thus occupying, or what's occupied in your eye, and ignoring what's there. So again, you have to go to what Paul talks about and looking introspectively at ourselves in Galatians 6 and verse 1 to make sure that we're right before we pass the judgment on anybody else. The other thing we also have to remember, and brethren, this is extremely important, when you do judge, make sure you do it with mercy and love. We talked about love serving this morning. Make sure that you have mercy behind it, because one day that might come back to bite you. And just remember, however you measure out that judgment will come back to you tenfold if it's improper based upon the day of judgment. And we don't want that measurement given to us the same way that we perhaps divvied it out too. It's really sometimes, I think, wrong in the way that we look at it. Sometimes I think we think it's fun to point out other people's faults. Perhaps we think it makes us feel better. It makes us build ourselves up. But again, we can go back to what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the concept of love. Does not rejoice in iniquity. So if I love you, I don't rejoice in the fact of pointing out your faults and why you're wrong and everything that you're doing. I'm not taking any pleasure in that. It's not if I say I'm going to walk in and go, boy, I get to tell brother so-and-so they're wrong tonight. Because if that is really the way we're going about it, then we need to look in the mirror again and make sure that the beam isn't sticking too far out of our own eyes. You see, judging with mercy, the Lord is here condemning the spirit of judging harshly, not to judge self-righteously, without mercy, without love. And then also he clearly indicates that we have to be loving in our approach when we're telling somebody that they're wrong. James warned against making judgments without mercy in James chapter 2 and verse 13. What does it mean to have mercy? I think if we make judgments without showing mercy, then, brethren, no mercy is going to be shown to us. I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand the concept that we want to be treated as good as anybody else, but we want to point out their faults because they're wrong and not us. I think the implication is not that we should never judge, but when we do judge, remember that God is going to issue those same standards. So Jesus does imply that there are times when we must make judgments. It's after that we've corrected our own faults, he says in Matthew 7 and verse 9. First remove the plank from your own eye before you can help somebody else. It's not saying that you can't judge somebody based upon your own actions previously in your own life. Because now once I've removed that plank, it better helps me see to help you out of your situation perhaps. Because I've been there, right? That we can say, hey, I've been in that situation. I know where you're coming from. I'm saying this out of love to say that's not a situation that you want to be in, or whatever the case might be, whatever the fault is. But rather to do it in a loving way, right? Love serves that we talked about this morning. Again, we must judge between those worthy and those who are hogs and dogs. Because sometimes I'll tell you, as Jesus talks about when he sent out his disciples concerning the limited commission, he said, you're going to come up against people who don't want to listen to what you have to say. And what did he tell them to do? Dust your feet off and move on. Sometimes when you have to make a righteous judgment for a brother or sister in Christ, they're going to tell you to be quiet. They're going to tell you perhaps they don't want to hear it. It doesn't mean that you don't love them or that you don't pray for them, but that they're just going to shun you and push you off because maybe they're not concerned, maybe they don't want to listen to what you have to say. But then you have to understand in those particular situations of when you need to continue to push or when you need to move on. Because sometimes you might only cause harm and push the person further away from Christ. Sometimes that's when you have to pass it off to the elders or to the preacher. And sometimes those situations aren't easy. But there's some, really what Jesus is saying, who are not worthy of that which is holy. Again, some are like dogs and some are like swine. And determining who, which requires judgment upon our part, of those that require the time, concerning those that understand righteousness and holiness and all of those things that encomes what it means to be a Christian. Judge not that you be not judged. So, what kind of judging is then forbidden by Jesus? Unrighteous judgment. Judgment that has no introspective to where we look at our own selves first before we start pointing the finger at somebody else. And judging intentions. I think that's the one that we judge the most by. Judging somebody's intentions. Well, they're just going to do it again. I think I've mentioned to you the story of the lady who responded when I first started preaching. And who sat on the front pew basically bawling her eyes out, telling me all of the things she needed to fix in her life, when from the back I hear two little old ladies say, she's just going to do it again. What's she going up there for? Judging intentions. To this day, as far as I know, that woman's never returned to the church. Because somebody wanted to judge the fact of how she used to live. Maybe if I was a little older and wiser at that time, I would have said, maybe you need to be sitting up here next to her. But again, we're quick to judge and point the finger and pass judgment because it's easy when we sit back and hide behind ourselves. And when we put ourselves up on pedestals sometimes, when we don't have the humility and the meekness that Jesus had. So we can't be self-righteous in judging. But it doesn't mean that we can't judge. Because the world doesn't want us to judge their sinful activities, right? No, they don't. When you think about the homosexual lifestyle and the permissive society, we talked about this in our Bible class today. That whole permissive society says, don't tell us what we're doing wrong, even though I can tell them based upon this standard right here why they're wrong. You see, this is the standard operating procedure by which we live our life. This is how I can tell somebody they're wrong. But again, raise your hand if you'd like to be told you're wrong. Not a single hand. Not a single person likes to be told they're wrong. Why? Because we're human beings. It's our nature. We want to be right. But sometimes we learn from those mistakes, don't we? Sure we do. The kind of judging that Jesus is condemning is that which is not according to His standards, and when it's not done with mercy, and when it's not done with love. That's the kind of judging that Jesus is talking about. Unrighteous judgment and judging intentions. But you know, we can be judged where we sit tonight. You see, we can look at ourselves and we can judge ourselves based upon where we're sitting right now and where we are with God tonight. And we can, in a way, look at each other based upon where we are tonight. But it's got to be done with mercy and it's got to be done with love. But we've got to look inwardly first, don't we? As Paul talks about again in Galatians 6. I've got to look at myself to figure out where I stand. Because I can't help you if I haven't helped myself. So tonight the invitation is offered if you need to help yourself, to remove the beam in your own eye before you can help somebody else with the speck in theirs. So you've got to look inwardly tonight first at yourself and say, is there anything that I need to fix? And if you do, then we want to pray with you tonight. We want to encourage you. And if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, and that's something that you want to do, we certainly want to help you with that. The garments are ready, the baptistry is prepared, but that's the step that you have to take. We're not judging your past. We're not here to do that. But we're here to change your future. So if we can help you in any way tonight, please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.